Big data is a major part of almost every person's life today. Artificial intelligence and complex algorithms analyze, process, and even predict every aspect of our digital behavior, creating concerns about the availability of information and our privacy. Dr. Sebastian Kempf is a senior lecturer in peace and conflict studies at the University of Queensland. On a recent visit to Athens, Kempf sat down with Alan Fleury, host of the podcast Unscripted, to talk about the friction between big data and privacy. Here's an excerpt from their conversation.
Are there dangers of making decisions by algorithm? It's essentially AI, correct?
Yeah, the extent to which it is AI is an interesting question, but I think that the role of algorithms is something that is now with us and it will only increase. But I think they're very, very important for us to understand. So, for example, I make my students open all their Gmail accounts and their Google accounts and say, okay, now go to Google. And we all search for the same term in the same classroom, the same search term. Do a screenshot of the findings of your first search results, and you will see that not a single Google search result is the same as their neighbors.
Wow.
And that's the reaction that students have. It's like, wow. And so it's a really nice way to teach because I can then say, okay, so but why is that the case? And then you will have, of course, students are like, oh, it's algorithms. And then it's like, okay, but what are algorithms?
Yes.
How do they function? How do they produce this, right? And then you find out that Google has something like around 100 different factors that impact on how the results are being generated. Mm-hmm. No one fully knows because it's not public, right? But ultimately, they decide what they think is the most relevant, the most important for us to read, to consume. You know, most big newspapers, the New York Times, Le Figaro, The Guardian, and others, they all operate with algorithms, mm-hmm. which means no one reads the same, even the website, mm-hmm. because they think they need to cater towards your particular interests. But it's what they think your interests are. And so in a way, the question to ask is not only what is it that we get to see, but probably more importantly, what is it that we don't get to see?
Mm-hmm.
Your Facebook feeds will show you things that Facebook algorithm thinks are most relevant to you, which means if you politically are leaning towards the Democrats, it will promote the posts and updates from your friends, which the algorithm believes are also politically inclined in your way,
mm-hmm.
which ultimately is, you know, leading us down these echo chambers. And it's very hard to break out of that.
Right. It's the polarization that everyone laments, except it's self-perpetuating or it's being perpetuated by the way media is delivered to us.
There's a handful of really interesting pieces of research people have done. They say, you know, this generation now, the world in which we live in, we've never had more opportunities to check news. Right?
Right.
You could in the past go to the next shop and buy maybe like what, 5 to 10 different newspapers, right? You'd struggle to find one from other side of the planet. Now, at least theoretically, you can get hold of all of these and you can expose yourself to the widest variety of views and opinions. But the consumer habits of all of us seem to go in the exact opposite direction. We seem to be confused, at least that's what these studies show, and we can't handle the diversity and the choice that we have. And so the consequences are that people now tend to navigate towards those news websites that already confirm their preconceived political ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So we could break out, but the evidence shows that we don't.
Yeah, it's almost as though we've become more conscious of our food diet. We need to become really conscious of our media diet.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that's been like a big value amongst a lot of people through, you know, for decades,
right?
If not centuries, right? The idea that for it's even like a civic duty to expose yourself to an all-rounded idea of where your information comes from, where your knowledge and understanding comes from. But, you know, with it also comes this tendency now that people are not willing to subscribe to newspapers, mm-hmm. to pay for their news, right? So that's why the entire news printing business is in such dire crisis and hasn't found any way out of this. I mean, they're all experimenting in one way or another, but they're all struggling with the same kind of way, right? And so there's this tendency now to, you know, we only take account of things that we can get for free. And that's another problem in a way, right? If you want to have good journalism, if you want to have good news, you need to be prepared to pay for it as well.
Dr. Sebastian Kempf is a senior lecturer in peace and conflict studies at the University of Queensland. That conversation is an excerpt from the podcast Unscripted with Alan Fleury, available wherever you get your podcasts.